Word on Today FM.
America's economic policies under Donald Trump are a source of great concern as we go into our general election campaign. What if he does impose tariffs on international trade? What if he forces American multinational companies to pay their taxes in the United States rather than Ireland, force them to bring their jobs back to reshore to the United States? Well, on Fox News last night, one of his sons, Eric Trump, backed his father's plan to impose new tariffs on specific countries, Canada, Mexico and China.
You want to allow drugs to come through our southern border? We're going to tariff you. You want to allow them to come through Canada? We're going to tariff you. China, if you're going to allow this stuff to get sold in our country, largely produced in China, we're going to add another 10% to your tariff. We are going to cost your countries, your economies, we're going to cost your businesses billions, hundreds of billions of dollars. If you think you're going to poison Americans, it's not going to happen. You're not going to destroy our youth. You're not going to destroy our society. You're not going to destroy our families. You're not going to do it. It's going to cost you. I'm going to put an end to it. Laura, when my father sent that 20 minutes ago, I literally cheered out loud.
Well, it's licensed legal pharmaceuticals that get exported from Ireland to the United States. But, Carl Thomas, what's this all about? Suddenly, an economic policy is not based on jobs and the balance of trade, as we were told the tariffs was for, but it's as a punishment for countries which are regarded as allowing drugs into the United States of America.
I think this may be part of a plan as a bargaining chip, Matt. I think that especially Mexico might feel that it is threatened so much by these tariffs and the jobs of their own people that they might actually start enforcing the border, which they have not done in the past. So I'm not sure these tariffs are going to go through, especially with Canada and Mexico. China may be another matter. We'll have to see. But we've got to do something in this country. I mean, we've had over 100,000, especially young people, die from fentanyl poisoning, which has been traced to China and coming through the cartels in Mexico. We've had instances of crime and women being raped and brutally murdered by illegal Venezuelan gangs who are now in more than a dozen states around the United States, have a presence there. So something has to be done. And the Biden administration is not doing anything about it. They haven't done anything about it. We have a virtual open border. So I think this is a very important bargaining chip. I'm not sure they'll go into effect, but I think it reflects what a lot of people felt when they voted for Trump in this last election.
What do you make of it all, Mary McKeown? And is it something that we should get some encouragement from in Ireland, perhaps, if the whole belief in tariffs is motivated by stopping the drugs trade?
Yeah, you know, I Donald Trump is so capricious and so mercurial. This will change 20 times. I'm inclined to agree with Cal that we'll see if this even happens at all. But a couple of things. Firstly, this whole thing about the drug trade, it has been said over and over, and I've been told by people down the border, by the customs people, and it's in legal documents and in that 80% or thereabouts of fentanyl that comes into America is brought in by Americans. It's brought in by Americans who cross the border themselves and who go over to Mexico and bring it in there. So it's not, yes, there are cartels, and Cal's absolutely right. They are brutal. They are murderers. They are criminals. But it's Americans who are bringing in fentanyl in large quantities. So that needs to be addressed. And that's not, yes, slapping tariffs on China might stop the production, but fentanyl is a drug that's used for legal purposes as well as for illegal purposes. And it's a drug that's used medically. So, you know, this is much, much more complicated than, you know, the hyper-caffeinated Eric Trump spouting out on Fox News. And this thing, the Mexico, this is so curious because, well, for starters, the border crossings at the moment are at their lowest. They're incredibly low. It's a day late and a dollar short for the Biden administration, I agree, but they really have clamped down there. There is no flood of people coming over the border from Canada. Those borders are well maintained and it's well known. There is no flood of drugs coming over the border from Canada. So this to me looks like, by the way, the American, the deal that Trump negotiated between Mexico and Canada and himself back when he was president, that's up for renegotiation in 2026, I think. And this sounds to me like a bargaining chip that he's going, I'm going to slap this on if I don't get better terms. I think it's all a bit of nonsense. Whether or not Ireland should be concerned, I think so much of what Trump says, it starts out as a threat and it's his, this is where he starts and then he retreats. And so I don't know if we need to be that worried by, honestly, any of it other than the fact that he's a clearly irrational and mercurial and God knows what he'll come up with next.
Okay, but Cal, in relation to tariffs, what tariffs tend to do is they make imports more expensive. I know Trump seems to think that you can force the exporters into the United States to cover the cost of those tariffs, but that's not the way the world works or economics work, and it'll also lead to tariffs in retaliation being put on American goods going to the other countries. This will lead to higher prices for when. So what will that do for all the people who voted for Trump thinking he was going to make their economic circumstances better?
Well, they said the same thing about Ronald Reagan, and prices went up for a while for the first 2 years, and then they came down after his economic programs kicked in the early 80s. But let's remember why a lot of these companies like Apple and others moved to Ireland and other countries. It was because of the high taxes on businesses here. And the people who own the stocks in these companies were very upset that they weren't getting the kinds of returns that they used to get. So that's why these companies have moved to other countries. Trump is trying to bring them back. He brought back some during his first term in office and by lowering taxes, and he's pledged to do the same thing this time. Now, obviously, that's going to hurt some people in these other countries who have gotten jobs in Ireland and other places because of these American companies that have moved there. But Trump's appeal to America first, you know, we've always been an isolationist-oriented country. We didn't want to get involved in World War I. We didn't want to get involved in World War II until Pearl Harbor. And we want to be left alone, and our oceans were supposed to protect us. You're right about Canada. They're not a threat to us. And all of a sudden, you know, Mexico is a serious problem with all of these illegal aliens coming into the country. We just can't absorb them. The state of California has just recently expanded its Medi-Cal program, which is for poor people. And this is just serving as another incentive for more people to come in. Free education, free health care, free food, in some cases, free hotels. New York City is overwhelmed by these people. There's waste products in the street, drug paraphernalia, all kinds of stuff. So people were fed up. And I think, you know, even if prices go up in the short term, I think people are willing to swallow it if they see an end to this business on the border.
Let's move on. Marion, talk about Donald Trump's legal cases disappearing. This is the obvious benefit to him winning the presidential election, isn't it? All of those legal troubles that might have landed him in jail, they all go away.
Well, this, I think, was one of the big motivations in him running, absolutely, because there were four criminal legal cases against Trump, two state and two federal, and because of the Department of Justice policy that you cannot prosecute a sitting president, this is behind the decision by Jack Smith, the special counsel, who, as we know, was involved in bringing the case, the January 6th case, which isn't just about January 6th, but it's about all of the things that were done that culminated in the January 6th, right? The election denialism, the leaning on local election officials, the attempts to introduce false slates of electors, the whole plot, if you will. So that was what Jack Smith was bringing in Washington. There were four charges left on that. And he refiled after the Supreme Court decided that presidential immunity basically meant what Richard Nixon said, that if the president does it, it's not illegal. But they still narrowed it down and were bringing four more cases. And Trump won then, four more charges. It seemed pointless, I suppose, but given the... Now, this isn't set in concrete, the Department of Justice policy, but there's no way this was going anywhere with a new attorney general coming in. There has been some debate in legal circles here as to whether or not Jack Smith should have made Trump go and do this himself, that he should have let Trump not done his job for him, essentially, wait for him to become president, said, I want to get rid of all these cases against me. But the one thing that has been done is by doing it the way Jack Smith did preemptively, he managed to get a an agreement from the judge, Tanya Chutkin, to say it's without prejudice, which means technically it could be refiled. So I don't know how the statute of limitations would work there if he could refile it after 4 years, but technically that is still on the books. Now, the other case against which Aileen Cannon, the federal judge, Trump appointee in Miami, had already struck out. He was appealing that. He's dropped that appeal against Trump, but he's still looking, bringing the appeal against two of Trump's employees down in Mar-a-Lago, Walt Nauta and Carlos de Oliveira, who were basically charged with moving these boxes around and being involved and lying about their involvement. So that part of the case is still going on, which seems like a bit of hard luck for them since they were following orders.
Okay.
And then the case in Georgia, we don't know what's going to happen there. I suspect that's going to be knocked on the head as well, even though it's a state case.
Okay. Cal, I believe you share the concerns of Democrats about the suitability of Tulsi Gabbard being picked for a security job.
I do. We touched on this, I think, last week, Matt. She has had these strange associations and comments about Russia and Vladimir Putin, and even visited with Bashar al-Assad in Syria, who, you know, is famous for murdering his own people with chemical weapons and other things. She has been linked to a very strange religious cult, even though she claims to be Hindu, where the cult leader, reminiscent of the Kool-Aid guy and Jim Jones some years ago, who is treated as a god. And, you know, she'd only been a Republican, supposedly, for the past couple of years. She'd been a Democrat for many years. She was a Democratic congresswoman from the state of Hawaii. So I think there's a lot to be questioned here, and I'm a big favor of the confirmation process. I totally agree with my Democratic friends that this process ought to continue. There should be no recess appointments, that all of these nominees should be brought before the Senate for confirmation and their backgrounds looked into. We do it with it. We've done it with every other administration, Republican and Democrat. This one should not be an exception. We've already seen Matt Gaetz knocked out because of his the allegations against him, and I want to know more about Tulsi Gabbard and some of the other nominees.
Very briefly, Marion, are we about to see not quite a culture war, but a health war waged against fluoride in water?
Oh, yeah, and a whole bunch of other things as well. The Florida Surgeon General, who is a total wacko, more than Robert F. Kennedy Jr., I would say, when it comes to issues like this, is calling now for the halting of putting fluoride in water. There were tests done in one part of America, and I can't remember where, but they showed that the outcomes really quickly, especially for poor children, were disastrous, that the number of cavities and fillings that they really suffered as a result. So this is just one thing. I mean, you know, as we said last week, some of Robert F. Kennedy's ideas are not bad, about healthy eating, getting pesticides out of big ag, that kind of thing. But some of them, and this in particular, it just seems that it's not going to do any good. So we'll see what happens if Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is, of course, confirmed, which again, as Cal said, no guarantees on that if they do go through the normal process.
Your last word on this, please, Cal.
Well, I wrote a column about it. It's in today's papers, but we've had these conspiracy theories for years. I remember vaguely, because I was so young, I thought I'd throw that in, Matt, since you're always mentioning my age. The end of the 1950s and early 60s, you had right-wing groups claiming that fluoride was a communist plot. They were going to weaken America and the commies would be able to take over. This is crazy stuff. I mean, Marion's right about the Surgeon General of Florida. I don't know where this stuff has come from. We've got plenty of other things on our plate without worrying about fluoride. I've been drinking it for years. I brush my teeth with fluoride in the toothpaste, and I seem to be doing okay, so I think I'll stick with it.
Okay. The only reason I ever mention your age, Cal, is because it's the benefit of the experience you're able to bring to our discussions. Cal Thomas and Marion McKeown, thank you very much for being with us.
The Last Word on Today FM.